This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is Labor Day weekend, and we hope you're enjoying it. This is the best of Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, and ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent. Ted, welcome.
God bless you guys. The Second Amendment is the firestorm of freedom, man.
It is. And hey, I just want to say, we're not to spend a lot of time on it, but my buddy Jim and I came up there a couple weeks ago, and we had a freaking blast. And I've said to so many people, Ted, by the way, Ted Nugent is on the line. I've said to so many people, Ted could have showed up for 20 minutes and everybody would have been thrilled. The man stayed on the property at the camp for 2.5 hours. And it was just a great get together, a great meeting, great food. So hats off for a classy operation you got up there in Michigan.
Yeah, how about my son Toby and my guides Paul and George? I mean, I'm surrounded by the best people in the world. And as you saw around that campfire, Bo, not only that, but how do you like your pork? I like mine pissed off. I don't know about you.
I donated mine.
I get to share hundreds of campfires with thousands of great American families every year since I created Sunrise Safaris. And that's why when I speak, I'm just not giving you a hunch or an opinion or a view of what self-evident truth may or may not represent. I'm really representing the ultimate definitive self-evident truth that comes from the hearts and souls of hardworking American families that are dedicated to God, family, country, law and order, good over evil.
Amen.
So these are the pulses that you guys are celebrating and our founding fathers wrote down in the Second Amendment. So I'm honored and humbled to do so, man.
Well, Ted, it is great to have you on here today. Mark Cox here. I have to tell you, brother, when I was probably 10 years old, 11 years old, I got my first electric guitar, and I bloodied my fingers trying to learn to play Cat Scratch Fever. Can I just tell you that?
Well, it's all about the groove. I hear millions of guys play the Cat Scratch Fever lick, but nobody does it correctly. Nobody's got that Motown grind. There's a certain pulsation, a certain grind and rhythm to that lick, and all the best licks in the world. You see bar bands play Smoke in the Water, and it kind of makes you cringe because there's a lot of nuances and subtle pedal tones that go on. But God bless you for pursuing it, because if you can even do a reasonable version of the Cat Scratch Fever lick, the girls will dance for you.
I love it. You know, I heard you on the air with our friend Mark Reardon here on 97.1 recently, and Mark was giving you just a little bit of grief for not including St. Louis in your sort of farewell tour, your final big tour.
Well, you know, I think we can all agree the greatest philosopher of all times was Dirty Harry when he said a good man knows his limitations. So I'm sitting here in the sacred swamps of Michigan with three worn-out dogs, and my wife is cooking up a killer brunch of angry pork. And I will not leave my dogs or my wife for more than a few hours. So I still do some gigs. I'm doing the York County State Fair in Pennsylvania. I was voted the number one rock and roll artist on planet Earth in 2024. How awesome is that?
And I was
at a motorcycle rally in Maryland in September. So I'm still doing a lot of gigs, but I have to be home at night. So my rock and roll concerts are pivotal upon who can jet me home after the gig.
Hold on. Are you holding Joe Biden hours? Are you done at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Ted? What's going on with that?
Yeah, right. And I'm Caitlyn Jenner's boy toy too. Yeah. Right. No, okay. Good luck. Good luck with you guys keeping up with my vapor trail. I get up early. I just hung up my 68th raccoon. I'm killing the varmints here and I'm saving the songbirds and the pheasant eggs. and the duck eggs. So I'm a very active guy. I'm 76 this year, but I'm still blessed with incredible health and a lot of avidity. I'm a hunting avidity Second Amendment promoter, and in this culture war turned to spiritual war headed by this freak zombie snake in the White House, I am more driven every day to do my we the people responsibility. So, no, I'm very, very energized, very active, and I never stop.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And by the way, for the record, I did donate my hog to your organization up in Michigan and was glad to do it, but I was just excited for the hunt. But, you know how people, Mark, like to one-up you on stuff? I tell my story of the great hunt at Ted Nugent's property in Michigan. They're like, yeah, you should probably go to Texas because he does helicopter hunts down there. Why do people have to do that? Thank you.
Well, we shared a wonderful campfire, and those were great, great people. I'm going to do it every weekend now through the New Year's. Awesome. We have a sunrise safaris. If people want to share a campfire with Uncle Ted and the greatest Americans in the world to remind you what real America is, they can go to tednugent.com. But I started this to help promote conservation and promote resource stewardship and promote the incredible, miraculous healing powers of God's creation as a hands-on participant. But and they're all fun. They're all deliriously fun. But nothing in this world, except maybe being strapped to my amplifiers while I'm playing Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang, nothing in this world is more exciting than shooting pigs with a machine gun from a helicopter as I save the environment, I save wildlife, I save agriculture, I save tax dollars, I save America, literally by killing thousands of hogs with a machine gun from a helicopter, and people wonder why I'm like this. That's why I'm like this.
Sign me up.
Yeah, no kidding. So, Ted, I have to ask, just going back a few years, I mean, when did you awaken politically? Can I ask that? Because, I mean, I've loved Fred Bear, love that song, right? Great White Buffalo. I mean, those were clearly songs with a message. But when did you awaken politically, would you say, along the way in your rock and roll career?
Well, I would say, having graduated from the American anti-education system, I was clueless in 1967 when I graduated from the American anti-education system. Talking about mushy-brained, all I knew was the inexhaustible pursuit of Chuck Berry groove. So I was always practicing my guitar. I was always lining up gigs for the Amboy Dukes. I was always training my dogs. I was always shooting my bow and arrow. So I was really focused on those things that really stimulated my spirit and my physics of spirituality. But when I came back to Detroit from Illinois, we went there for 2 years and my dad got transferred, and the Amboy Dukes, we came back to Detroit. And I started getting contact. I had no idea. I could not have told you what Iwo Jima was. I didn't know what the letters IRS stood for. And I got some stories regarding that. Heroes of World War II. This is such a moving experience. Heroes of World War II in Korea. And heroes coming back from the immoral, illegal, oath-violating war of Vietnam, they would track me down. I was 18, 19. I had no idea. I didn't know there was a war going on in Vietnam. I literally only knew music, gigs, girls, and the mystical flight of the Bockstrap arrow. I was so consumed with those things that took all my attention. But when the heroes of the military started contacting me, as early as 67, they would hear my radio interviews, rock and roll radio interviews, which are uppity and outrageous and irreverent and defiant and fun. And because I was clean and sober, I could express all those things efficiently. But I always talked about my archery, the discipline of the mystical flight of the arrow and marksmanship, and my weekends shooting squirrels with my Smith & Wesson Model 19, shooting 38 special rounds, 158 lead rounds. And so all these military guys go, this guy's talking guns and hunting and promoting gun ownership and the self-evident truth of the Second Amendment. So they would track me down because they all knew friends who had died and given the ultimate sacrifice for their constitutional oath. And they'd never heard it from a rock and roll interview ever or since, except from yours truly. So then I started getting educated about the horrors of war, the Bataan Death March, the rape of Nanking, where evil tyrants sent their slaves into rape and pillage and torture and murder their enemies in Japan and Vietnam and Germany. And I started going, God, I didn't, that's horrible. That's some ugly stuff. And so I started educating myself, and then in 79, when I realized the U.S. Marine Corps heroes were put in charge of security at the Tehran embassy, the U.S. embassy in Tehran, U.S. Marines that were ordered to secure our embassy but were not given any ammo and they became hostages, my brain struggled to process this toxic, treasonous information by my government. So that's when I really got involved, because as I would promote the Second Amendment, I would get hate and vicious threats because I promoted gun ownership. And so I started realizing, that's what the Founding Fathers confronted. That's what they faced. And I was more than happy to push back, because all the music, all the musicians, all the media, all academia, all media would condemn the Second Amendment. So I started promoting it, and I killed them every time with truth, logic, common sense, facts, and irrefutable history. So that's when I became an activist and finally performed my responsibilities as a We the People American.
And that's why you're sought after on all the news channels. Matter of fact, the day of our hunt, you said you had just wrapped up 3 hours of media. Is this half of your day every day, Ted?
It really is. I get up, check my traps every morning, and kill varmints and aim small, miss small, and get a lot of trigger time. That's very stimulating. I feel like Mother Teresa with a Glock. I'm doing such wonderful conservation work. And then I jump on with guys like you, and I do Jesse Waters, and I do Joe Rogan, and I get on with Adam Carolla, and I believe it or not, back when Howard Stern had a spirit and a soul, I used to get on with him and straighten him out. But yeah, I've been sought because nobody can debate me unless they go, well, Ted, let me be devil's advocate. And I say, well, you know, if you're going to counter what I just said, you would be the devil's advocate. So go for it. So I literally, like I did to Pierce Morgan, if you try to debate Ted Nugent on conservation, hunting science, Second Amendment, truth, logic, and common sense, I will gnaw on your family tree and spit toxic sawdust in your face, because I am the humble servant of truth, logic, common sense, and all the evidence to support it. And if you try to debate me, I will make you look like the idiot that you are.
I love it. Ted, I have to tell you, one of the concerts I saw you in here in St. Louis, I hope you'll probably remember this. It must have been maybe 15 years ago. You came here and your backdrop was a latticework with guns hanging on it. And the city of St. Louis, tried to charge you for bringing these firearms into the city of St. Louis. It's not gotten any better here. Can I just tell you that?
Well, that's the story all across this great country. I'm in Michigan right now at the historical sacred Nugent family swamp, getting ready for the best hunting season of my life. We here in Michigan, even though the people are the greatest people in the world, just like Texas, just like Missouri, just like every state. I mean, California isn't L.A. and San Francisco. It's the gunsmiths and the guide and the outfitter and the ranchers and the farmers and the vineyard operators in Northern California. There's great, great conservative, conservation, constitutionalists everywhere. I share campfires with them from every state. In fact, people come from Europe because you can't do what I do in France. Every day what I do is illegal in Chicago and Europe. So people come who live self-evident truth and bust their ass to be in the asset column for their family, their community, our great country, our once great country. And I know the heart and soul of the best American families, and we
yes,
are not
do.
Only not represented by the government, but we are offended and embarrassed by our government.
I will say one thing you mentioned that really stuck with me at the campfire at your Sunrise Safari was that if all hunters, now this is a show called Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, I shared that with you, and that's when I asked you, you got to come on the show. He goes, I'm your guy. But Ted, you said that if just the hunters of this country voted, that it would sway the entire election. You said it would be a landslide. If just the hunters, and a lot of people that hunt don't vote, they don't mess with it. Talk to us.
Yeah, it's irrefutable. We bought the statistics. We have an organization. I hope everybody, if you want to make America America again, if you want good to survive and win over evil. HunterNation.org. HunterNation.org. We bought the statistics and we wept tears of blood when we cross-referenced the hunting license families of this country to the voting records. In every state, there's not one state where 50% of the licensed hunters were even registered to vote. They never voted. And that conservative army of voters, if we could, and we are, we're making a difference. We're getting a hold of, we're doing robocalls. I'm calling people. We're doing flyers. We're emailing. We're wallpaper carpet bomb communication to the greatest conservative voting army in the world, and that's the licensed hunting families of America. And you're absolutely right. The statistics are irrefutable. If just the licensed hunters voted their core belief system, God, family, country, freedom, private property rights, tax accountability, good God, someday maybe, if just the licensed hunters voted in meaningful numbers, we would win everything for conservative representation. I swear to God. HunterNation.org. 100%. Gentlemen, it used to be 96%. Currently, 100% of violent crime is committed by repeat offenders that our system have intentionally released into our streets. And if we would just end the engineered recidivism, America would be the safest, most law and order place in the world. Those are not Ted Nugent hunches. The statistics are irrefutable. I study them all the time. People need to go to HunterNation.org and, of course, GunOwners.org. Gun Owners of America is the ultimate fist in the fight. There's a new organization in Texas that is really doing amazing work. It's called TexasGunRights.org. TexasGunRights.org. And it's not just about Texas gun rights. The Second Amendment is a national right. I don't need a permit for my First Amendment, and I don't need a permit for my Second Amendment. And my First Amendment and my Second Amendment is good on planet Earth without paperwork.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Again, thank you again for your hospitality. Anybody that gets a chance to go and experience a Ted Nugent hunt, I will tell you, your son Toby, spitting image, I'm thinking of you when you were younger. Great guy, very good host. And George and the Amish boy. What was the Amish boy? Brian, is it?
Yeah, Brian and Spencer and Paul was up in Canada hunting bears. But no, but what you witnessed there, Bo, is my life. I mean, my inner circle, which
loved
is
it.
Vast. I mean, it's global. My inner circle is global. Nothing but good, working hard, playing hard, genuine, honest, people of integrity, people who are punctual, people who care, people who are funny and cocky.
Yeah.
I'm really spoiled because you saw the quality of the people around the Ted Nugent campfire, and they are the best people in the world, and I do it every weekend. Shemaine and I will be at the GOP convention in Milwaukee on Monday, her birthday, the 15th, and we're doing a HunterNation.org event. And we're going to find out who are the real conservative Republicans versus the Mitt Romneys who bring a doily to a gunfight.
Amen. Ted, you are the best. I'm going to go home and get out my copy of Double Live Gonzo and listen to it this afternoon, just in your honor.
I would. What great music. That's another example. How about my bands? Do I have the best bands in the world or what?
Yes, you do. Absolutely.
All right. Ted, stay in touch.
The Second Amendment is a self-evident truth. People can now go to gunowners.org, HunterNation.org. But if we galvanize the conservative families of this nation, we will send these tyrannical communist Democrat punks packing. And that's the job of we the people. God bless you for that, man.
Keep up the good fight. Ted Nugent on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. What an honor. And hey, get his new album. He's still cranking out the good stuff.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's Labor Day weekend, and this is the best of Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, and next weekend at the Family Arena, it's the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association Fall Show. In honor of that, here is Marks in my interview with Bradley Eubanks from Bill Thomas Campers.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Boy, ain't that the truth. Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox and Carl Middleman, our executive producer.
Pew, pew.
And we are all excited. You know, it's a great time to go to take in the STL RV Travel Show because, you know, current RVers can go in and look for upgrades because they do trade-ins.
Yes,
and,
we can.
Everybody wants to upgrade, right? Secondly, if you're a first-time RV buyer, boy, I'll tell you what, this is the show to go to because you can gather as much information as you can. And so excited. I love going to the show because dreamers, you get to dream. We've got Bradley Eubanks from Bill Thomas Campers in Wentzville. By the way, the only dealer for Airstreams in the St. Louis area. And if you are an Airstream fan, and I know I am, my wife is, this is the guy to talk to. We're going to talk about the whole show plus the coolness of Airstreams and their cool aerodynamic look. Welcome to the show. Bradley, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, buddy. Are you excited about the show?
Yeah, we are. It's I often refer to it as our Super Bowl.
Yeah. So what you're saying is Taylor Swift might arrive at this show. Is it that's a possibility?
You're saying that.
Okay.
You know, Bradley, I think maybe you and I met one time. I actually did some ads on my radio show for Bill Thomas back in 2016, 2017 when I first started on this radio station and loved to come out there and take a tour. And you gravitate to where those Airstreams are. I can just tell you that. That was one of the first places they took me when they took me on a tour of the lot was to show your selection. And I believe there was a time in recent years where, I mean, but your business just exploded during COVID, right?
Yeah, it sure did. It was, it was a benefit to our industry overall for sure. And but like you were saying, the Airstream tends to be, it's so unique in the industry, and it's regarded as, you know, the cream of the crop, classic design and timeless characteristics make it a real draw.
Is there a benefit to it being the shape that it is as far as aerodynamics, or is it just a tip of the hat to the old RVs of yesterday?
Yes. No, they've done wind tunnel testing and proven better gas mileage through the aerodynamics.
Yeah, I'd say. So, you know, I've got a camper now, and we pull it all over the place. It's one of those that's got the slide out on the side. The perception is that those campers give you more room. But I tell you what, man, you talk about utilizing space. We were camping then last year, I believe, somewhere down near the Lake of the Ozarks, and the people next to us were in an Airstream. And they actually invited us in to see the inside of it, and it was impressive.
Yeah, it sure is. The way I often think about it is that these manufacturers make the different models and floor plans to suit different needs. And, you know, just like in a home, people configure them or are drawn to certain configurations based on their lifestyle, the number of people that are in the home, or in the case of an RV, the number of people that are camping with them. So it's all about where are you going and what are you doing when you get there. And that's the beauty of the industry, is that they make them in so many different configurations to suit the different lifestyles and needs of the public.
The cool thing about the Airstream is that it's an iconic brand, as I mentioned, and you guys are in other classes besides just travel trailers, correct? With that brand?
We have fifth wheels and travel trailers, and with Airstream we carry their motorized product, the vans. But I should say at the show, across, you know, the dealers will be participating in the show, bring a little bit of everything. Yes. From, you know, we also carry the slide-in truck campers. And so we'll start there, if you will. And then at the show, people can see everything up to and including the big Class A diesel motorhomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably use the wrong terminology here, Bradley. So correct me if I do. But I go past your lot all the time on my way back and forth to Jeff City or Columbia. I've seen would it be a Class A? Is that what they refer to it as, the motorized version of the Airstream?
Well, the Airstream vans are considered a Class B,
Class
as
B,
in boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets a little confusing, but the terminology doesn't much matter. It really is a matter of getting out and getting in these things, sitting in them to get the look, the feel, touch the thing. And that's, again, that's the beauty of the show. You have all these RVs under one roof where you can tour them all and see what strikes your fancy.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Is that a chassis? Is that on a Mercedes chassis?
That is a very and yes, that's what Airstream uses primarily.
It's okay.
A very common chassis in the industry. But they, in Airstream's case, they also introduced last year a new model that is on the Dodge chassis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a gas.
Yeah.
It makes it more affordable, but it's still a full functioning RV.
Is it just I don't know. Is it kind of known that Airstreams hold their value better than some of the other brands, which all the brands are fantastic that are going to be featured at the show? But do Airstreams hold their value better?
They really do. And that's proven by the data over time. One of the things that is truly, well, one of the other things that's truly unique about an Airstream is it is considered a generational product. And what we mean by that is if a person just does basic care and maintenance, these trailers will last four generations and can actually be passed down, you know, in a family.
Sure.
We have a 1968 Airstream in our shop right now that we're doing some work on, but it is completely roadworthy. It is completely ready to go. And the vintage Airstream Club has trailers that date back as early as the 40s that are still in use and still on the road today.
That's great. Bradley Eubanks, our guest from Bill Thomas Camper Sales out in Wentzville. You know, just for a moment, before we get back into what all is going to be at the show, because I went last year and I want to talk to you about that a little bit. What's your reaction to the explosion in interest in camping? I mean, honestly, and I know COVID played somewhat of a role in that, but my wife and I traveled to Glacier National Park twice over the last couple of years, and it is so crowded now that you've got to plan 6 months out to the day before you want to camp to even have a chance of getting a campsite at some of these places. I mean, it is amazing how many people are out there enjoying RVing now.
Yeah, no, it's really terrific, and yeah, one of the downsides, if you will, of the explosion in popularity in the industry is, in some cases it is a truly a lack of campsites, but I think more acute is the most popular destinations do get booked up and sold out well in advance. But I think one of the things that that has really helped our industry is just the industry itself has never stopped innovating and is using better materials, producing a higher quality product, more appealing to to a broader scope of the public. And as a result, when people you know, I think many people think of the old days and what RVs used to be, and then they're very surprised when they get in one.
Yeah.
And in first timers, you know, the most common expression is like, is something along the lines of, I had no idea that, you know, these things were this nice, that they had this much space or these many features and all of the wonderful things that, that the product has to offer.
Well, to Mark's point about, you know, destinations, the great thing about this show is even if you own your RV, you have no ideas that you want to, you know, switch out, upgrade or anything. At the show, there will be a lot of campsite representation, tourism bureaus that'll be on site. Let's talk about some of those, if you can, about some of the destinations people can learn about when they go out to the show.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the things, you know, that when people are contemplating an RV, they often think of national parks. Most of our customers, though, stay within Missouri for most of their camping. And I think once people start to research and get acquainted with all of the destinations and resources in the state, you realize you don't have to go, you know, within 100 miles. There's dozens of places to go. My wife and I camped last fall in down in the Acadia Valley, which was about 2 hours from here. And you know, it was unknown to us and absolutely beautiful. And I would go back, you know, in a heartbeat. And so to your point, yes, there will be a number of campgrounds at the show promoting, you know, what they have to offer at their place. And again, it's many of these places are within in an hour or two, or certainly within 100 miles of St. Louis.
Yeah, sounds great. We're talking about the St. Louis RV and Travel Show coming up. Went down there last year. I have to tell you, Bradley, my wife and I bought a small camper a couple years ago, immediately realized it was too small. We upgraded. We got a 30-foot pull trailer now. And ultimately, we'd like to have a fifth wheel. So we went down there last year. We get to walking around, and boy, was that my mistake, taking my wife down there. She sees this four-season fifth wheel. I don't even remember the brand, but right where the pantry would be, right next to the kitchen, there was a door you could open, and there was a separate room in there that she's decided she could turn into an office. So she's now got her mind set on this fifth wheel. Ooh. And man, I'm just telling you, if you just want to dream a little bit, it is a great place to go see what the possibilities are.
Or it could be a mobile recording studio, and you could write off the RV. You're
there
welcome.
There you go. Thank you.
Always thinking.
Yeah. Well, and really and truly, you know, one of the things that we've seen in recent years are people using RVs in ways that we never imagined. So there's a model called the toy hauler because it has a garage in the back.
Right.
And very often these garages they're intended for toys like motorcycles and side-by-sides and stuff. But very often they get used for something, you know, completely different, where artists use them as an art studio and on and on again, in ways that people would have never dreamed.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I know people are excited about the show and honored to be a part of the promotion of the show as well with the St. Louis RV Travel Show. Bradley, really a pleasure to talk to you. By the way, if you got a deal on one of those teeny tiny Airstreams, that's the one my wife wants. I could probably pull it with her VW Beetle. Those things are cool. But Bradley, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. Good. Maybe we'll run into him down there.
Yeah. And you can get your tickets online at stlrv.com to get down to the shows. And next weekend at the Family Arena, so you can just go on down.
And you'll hear.
Upgrade.
Bo Matthews' big booming voice. This weekend only.
Hey, it's a gig, brother.
It's a gig, brother. Good for you. That's great. Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors.
It's Labor Day weekend, and this is the best of Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. We thank you for listening. Here is Mark's interview with our friend Aiden Johnston from Gun Owners of America to talk about a judge putting a hold on Missouri's SAPA law. Listen up.
Well, as we've talked about so often, big stakes in the election this year, just like there were in 2020, because you knew ultimately Joe Biden would try to do, right? Because when your political opponents tell you what they're going to do, you have to listen.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Yeah, that was Beto O'Rourke. Remember that, right? Well, Joe Biden's been all in on the assault weapons ban from the beginning, and they've also long pushed for a registration, right? And they're not registering the weapons, they're registering you. So with all of this in mind, Missouri legislators got together and they pushed through the Second Amendment Preservation Act, saying that we will not allow that to happen in the state of Missouri. So in other words, if the feds come in with the intent of seizing your weapons, local police in Missouri will not cooperate with that. They will not participate in it. That's what SAPA says. The left hated it. Some police chiefs hated it because a lot of their officers went and worked dually with federal agencies, and they couldn't do that anymore. So it got challenged in court, and some judge just threw it out. A federal appeals judge has overturned that Missouri law known as the Second Amendment Preservation Act. We got Aiden Johnson with us this morning. He is, of course, with Gun Owners of America. And Aiden, good to have you back. How are you?
It's great to be here. I'm doing very well, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if Gun Owners has played any role in defending this law or not, but what do you know about the decision to overturn it?
Well, so Gun Owners of America is a huge supporter of Missouri's Second Amendment sanctuary law. There are dozens of states that have passed these kinds of laws, but Missouri is in the top three with what we call a gold standard because of how good this law is. And the Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's been defending this law in court, is also a good friend of Gun Owners of America. He just spoke at our first annual convention in Knoxville last week. What is really unfortunate is this three-judge panel ruling from just last night, where they struck down this Second Amendment preservation law, saying, oh, it violates the supremacy clause of the Constitution, while totally ignoring the fact that the Second Amendment says it shall not be infringed. That's all this law was trying to do, was to protect the Second Amendment for infringement. That's what gun registration is. That's what gun confiscation is. And that's what was made illegal by this law. But no. These federal judges who hate your Second Amendment and who hate guns, they just want to let the police take them away from you, and that's what they upheld.
Well, even the way the stories are written, describing it doesn't describe it properly. The way I read SAPA, the intent of this was all along that if you get a tyrant in office like a Joe Biden or a Kamala Harris who decides they're going to take away, strip you of your rights and come in and take your weapons, they're going to send the FBI in to take your weapons, that local police in Missouri will not participate in that. That's what I read from SAPA.
Right. If you read SAPA, there are a lot of common sense prohibitions on lots of unconstitutional federal gun controls, some of which exist, some of which don't exist, and some of which the federal government would really like to use to infringe on your Second Amendment. And all this law did was say local law enforcement is not going to enforce that. And if they do, they're going to be punishable. You're going to be able to sue them and get $50,000 for every time they do that. And the federal government hated that because they want to do stuff like register your firearms. Kamala Harris wants to ban your commonly owned home defense rifle if you have an AR-15. So they were upset. That's why they went to court. They said they were harmed by the passage of the law. The law says no gun registration, and the federal government says, oh, we've been harmed. That's why we are standing in court. I mean, you got to think about it. What do they really want? They want gun registration.
You know, I noticed at the gunowners.org page this morning, and right at the very top is a story about the ATF trying to register people or force a registry, and that they're using that assassination attempt on President Trump to try to justify putting your name on there. What's that all about?
Gun Owners of America has done some research. We've done some Freedom of Information Act requests, and also our allies in Congress have written some letters and uncovered that the ATF has over 920 million records, 820 million of which are in a digital searchable registry. So we're talking about the ATF's office in West Virginia, their headquarters in Martinsburg, West Virginia, keeps the firearm transaction records, the forms 4473 that you fill out when you buy a gun commercially. That background check form gets kept permanently, and then the ATF scans it into a digital searchable database. Now, federally, registries are illegal. That's against federal law, but they keep them, and they have them in a digital database, and they just say, oh, it's not a registry. So when the federal government in this SEPA case says, oh, we've been harmed because we're not allowed to do gun registration in Missouri anymore, well, they have a gun registry in violation of federal law. That's what the whole SEPA was about. So, I mean, the Americans do not comply with these kinds of unconstitutional gun laws. I remember New Jersey passed a magazine capacity restriction. They went from 15 rounds to 10 rounds, and 3 magazines got turned in. That was it. And when the bump stock ban went into effect, there were 500,000 that were out there, and there were a grand total of 543 that got turned in. And you know what? The ATF has to give those back to people now that we won at the Supreme Court. So these gun bans don't work. They don't do anything at all. Americans don't comply. And yet here we are with the federal government, the Biden-Harris administration, these judges in a federal court saying, no, 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 SEPAs are unconstitutional because of the Supremacy Clause. Forgetting about the Second Amendment.
This is why it's so key that Kamala Harris gets asked some serious questions. I know most of the people listening to this show understand this already, but she has called repeatedly for the buyback program that Kim mentioned. Guess what? You can't buy something back from me that you didn't sell me in the first place. That's called confiscation. And she's also repeatedly supported Joe Biden's calls for an assault weapons ban. Their words, not mine.
It sure would be nice if someone were able to ask her this kind of question. I think today is day 37 of her being the vice president or the Democratic nominee for president and not having had a press conference or answered questions. But you're absolutely right. She supports every gun control that you can imagine. When she was Attorney General of California, it was her job to lock you up for possessing a so-called assault weapon. She bragged about in an interview, she said, I've taken over 10,000 guns from people who weren't supposed to have them. Not talking about criminals, talking about getting violent people off the streets, talking about gun owners who have an AR-15 and they're not supposed to, or they didn't their handgun and get their concealed carry permit in California, or they used a red flag gun confiscation law and took their firearms without due process. So if you can name a gun control, California has it, Kamala Harris enforced it, and she wants it nationwide.
Well, Aiden Johnson, we always appreciate your good information, and keep up the good work. You should, if nothing else, I would direct people to gunowners.org to go there and sign up for the alerts so that they can keep you up to date on what's going on around the country. Aiden, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Always good to get him on. That'll do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll be back with a brand new show next week.
See you, boys.